Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us 10 a.m. Wednesday morning for Keeping It Brief, and then return later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursday, the split between In Our Craft of Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Daniel. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, the split between Gray Eyes and Daniel Howling at the Moon in the Great White North, bringing you Bad Company and exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30, Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Aphasiana and Babla to teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Arcana and Stellina as they bring you Delving into the Darkness. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And good evening, Jean. And I understand we got some schedule changing coming.
Hi, Rex. We have scheduled who?
Are we doing some schedule changing?
Oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. I have to change up the calendar. Well, kind of a calendar, the schedule, because We have, let's see, Faziana has moved Park Center, Park Saint over to from Friday, well, Saturday morning, midnight, over to Thursday morning after midnight. And then that's until September. And in the meantime, we have Dexter, Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey, is going to pick up the Friday spot and be running what he's calling Once Upon a Time. And it's based on history and I'm not too sure. I don't want to speak out of turn because his first contest is on Chernobyl. I'm not sure where he's going to go. I know he has a whole lot of ideas running through his head. So that should be fun. And I'm staying with my ass firmly seated on Friday night so I don't get totally lost. I think they're the only two changes right now. I think. Did I miss anything, Pam? I have to ask you because you're my member.
No.
Hi, Pam.
So far, you got it.
Okay.
No.
And it's Dexter Bailey. It's Dexter Bailey.
I'm sure
and
within
Pam
the
Mayer
15 minutes, something could change, but for now, we got it.
Right, right. And Dex Bailey and Pam Ray will be doing that show on Saturday morning. So pardon me for not.
Yes, yes. I am excited for that one. I think
it'll be fun.
It's going to be a great, a fascinating show for people to write for.
Right, right. Absolutely. And joining us is Laurent. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party. Are you on mute?
Thank you. Good evening. Good evening.
There we go. Yes, yes, yes. So, that's our schedule changes as of right now. And, come September, we'll do another shift because Viviana's going to go back to her Saturday morning show. So it should be good. But we'll figure something out. And I don't know about this. But in the meantime, we're doing all right.
Cool.
Yeah, with that being said, Rex, tell us about tonight.
Well, we're featuring Buffalo Springfield, which is a group from the mid-60s that stuck together for 2 years before they split up and kind of transformed the music scene where the American sound was going at the time. Stephen Stills was a southern boy who was living in Greenwich Village at the time, and he played a show up in Ontario, the Thunder Bay Arena in Ontario, and another one of that group, Neil Young, was also part of the lineup playing music that night. They got to be friendly. They had a common interest in mixing folk and rock together. They found common bonds. Nothing came of it at the time, and there was a song that that Neil Young had wrote in the early days. It was Nowadays Clancy Can't Sing, which kind of stuck with Stills. But anyway, after they came back to the States, he left Greenwich Village and moved out to L.A. to see if he could kick off his musical career a bit more. Kind of puddled around for a while. He found moved in with a guy, Dickie Davis, who was a stage manager at the Troubadour at that time. And after a few weeks of kicking with him, Stephen was complaining about the idea of not being able to find the right musicians to play with. And Dickie said, hey, I've got some people, or at least know a couple of people. And he introduced him to Ricky Fure. And then somewhere in late 65, early 66, Neil Young and I think it was Bruce Palmer, a bassist he knew, decided to try and track down Stephen Stills. So they made the trek from, at that point, they were in Detroit for a concert. So they took Neil's old black 53 Dodge Hearse and drove out to California. Spent a week or so puddling around L.A. trying to find Stephen and all the the clubs, the coffee bars, any place, and got frustrated. So they decided, let's head up to San Francisco and see if he's up that way. So they're driving down Sunset Boulevard, big old traffic jam, and coming the other way, going into town, was Stephen Stills and Richie Furin in a van. So made a quick U-turn down the street, pulled up to the back of the hearse. They all got together, a celebration out in the middle of the street, which was kind of commonplace back in those days. Then they, because they've been trying to chase each other down for over a year, but long-distance phone calls and places where they were kind of transient lives back then. They weren't living with a whole lot of money. They were playing club to club, where they were doing their songs, where they could find an audience to play for. Well, anyway, they got to, what the hell was it? They got a recording deal. Their first album didn't go so well, but they were recording a song. What the hell is it all for? Well, in late '66, and they met the Byrds out there, and one of the guys, Chris, asked to give them a chance. So they did a 6-week stint at the Whiskey A Go-Go, had some success there, and then they opened up for a 6-city tour for the Byrds on the road and had some fun with that. But the music was actually taking off because they actually had, since they had been alone all that time, not doing a whole lot except writing music, their own music, they were playing fresh songs while Byrds and other groups are trying to match the angle of playing covers as well as a few of their own tunes in the mix. So it made for a good mix for them. They got to do live music in the moment and their music without actually having to use covers from other bands. Anyway, now they're all doing pretty good. They've got places out in the Laurel Canyon. Richie Furin lived out there, and Neil Young lived out there for a while. Stephen Stills was out in Topanga Canyon, and that was not far from where the riots were back in the day down at Pandora's Box, November '66. It was a couple of thousand kids protesting for curfews, and between what he saw there, which kind of scared him a little bit, and what was going on with Vietnam and the boys over there, he wrote that song. Now I can't think of the name of it, but I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, he wrote that protest song, which kind of was a big hit for him back in the day. It came out in about 15 minutes, put it all together, then went to record it later in that year, December, as a matter of fact. Then they added it to their first album on the second printing. So if you got an original album of their first album without that song on it, you've got a moneymaker in that one. They all moved into a 24508 Malibu Road, where Vincent Price used to own that house. That was the summer of '67. They had a lot of people coming through their doors because they used to jam. They're right on the beach. They'd get loud. That was the party place back in the day. Jimi Hendrix visited all the time. Miles Davis stopped in. And it's where David Crosby started hanging out quite a bit. And it's also where Neil Young wrote Mr. Soul. And it was one of those first songs where he was kind of flexing his muscle on the thought of he wanted to sing. Because up until that point, all the vocals had been done by Stephen Stills and Richie Furin. Anyway, then there was the big bust in March of 1968. Nobody knows for sure where it was anymore, but it was in Topanga Canyon. Most think it was at Stephen Stills' ex-girlfriend's house. And they say it was, some people say it was set up. Some people say it was just a big old party that got way out of hand and loud, and somebody just got pissed off and called the police. Anyway, the place was surrounded, and they had quite the crowd in on that day. And Topanga Canyon was quite famous back then. Cant Heat had a home out there. Linda Ronstadt had a home out there. Graham Parsons had a home out there. So anyway, the end of March in 68, they all got busted except for Dewey Martin and Stephen Stills, who kind of snuck out the back door and got away. Anyway, Claxton was part of the entourage that day, and he was pretty much the only guy in the place that had really long hair. So cops took them all downtown, did the usual strip search, and spray them with water, delousing. And because of the way Claxton looked, they made him stand naked in front of everyone in his pink cowboy boots, and then threw him in a cell with three unsavory characters. And his knowledge of music and the R&B and the blues kind of gave him a conversation point with the guys in this cell. So he had a decent evening, even though he was buck-ass naked and didn't get himself trounced. May 15th, Neil Young split for the third time from the group. That was after their concert at their last concert at the Long Beach Arena. And after that, Richie Furay went off to form Poco, a kind of a country western rock band. And you've just heard Stephen Stills on that opening tune and how they sounded back in the day at Buffalo Springfield. That gave you a good look as to how Crosby, Stills, and Nash would be formed and how they would later ring in Neil Young once more. And that's about it, I do believe.
Well, very nice. It
covers quite a bit of territory.
Lots of facts, yeah, lots of facts. Great. Well, I guess I should get the party started, huh?
Oh, we can. Yes, we can. Ron, how much of that back then do you remember?
Well, most of what you said, I was living through it at the time. Back in 68, I was 18, 19 years old, just about ready to go over the ocean into the Great War, and I was worried as shit, and their music really spoke to me.
Oh, one more thing. Yes, they had a benefactor back then, a guy named Barry, I can't remember his name, Barry, who was who put him up in a cheap motel. He gave him some money here and there to keep him fed while they wrote songs and such. And out in front of his house, they came across a steamroller made by the Buffalo Springfield Company I don't remember what. Anyway, that's where they got the name from, off of a steamroller, the Buffalo Springfield Company.
That was a great name.
It was something unusual, and hey, sometimes the unusual births a great idea. You see something odd, wow, that's kind of a funky name. Two towns, you think of Buffalo, New York, and I think Springfield, Missouri, or Springfield, Illinois, something like that. Yes, it's right on.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking when you look at that name, you got Buffalo, and you got the Springfield, which is a famous rifle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes.
The rifle annihilated the Buffalo.
Yes,
the association I always had with that.
I haven't quite thought of that, right? But no, you're right.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, I guess now we can move into the goodies, I guess.
Okay. The first song for tonight is called Kind Woman. And here we go.
Got a good reason for loving you. It's an old-fashioned sign. I kinda get the feeling once before to hear the old folks say, love's an ageless old cry. Nowadays, you know, the saying depends so much on the kind of woman that you find.
A little country. That kind of sounds like where Poco took their music to.
It's all good stuff. Now, the first piece, the piece that goes with Kind Woman is called Kind Sir, Swim Back by Jenny the Duke. And I guess I'll give this a read. Kind Sir, Swim Back by Jenny the Duke. Every day I know you get tired of me asking, baby, are we all right? I understand it's tasking, needing reassurance, fight after fight, night after night. I'm afraid one more disagreement and you'll take flight. Sitting here fearing you'll revoke with a passionate kiss, reminded daily in this sea for you, there are many fish. Please, sir, don't toss me back into your treacherous, toxic water. Instead, tell me, then show me how I'm your greatest catch and lover. Understand if you ever do need to release me back into the rough, roaring, rapid, regurgitating sea. May the floating sunlight help you to once more reminisce until it is me, kind sir, that you will one day know. Let the sea carry you back home to me tonight, to hold me in your arms, squeezing me nice and tight, for to me that all between us will again be all right, passing love's biggest test, never giving up without a fight. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't we kick it with you first?
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Gene. This is a great take on the chosen prompt. Jenny really has an emotional impact with this write. And I like how it speaks on the insecurities and doubts that can come creeping into the mind. Especially if you're a person who's been through a difficult or abusive relationships or childhood or whatever issues that you have that you're dealing with, oftentimes when it comes to relationships, insecurity and doubt can be take over, and you need that sense of reassurance. I like that comes through the line, needing reassurance fight after fight, night after night. I'm afraid one more disagreement and you'll take flight. You can really see the fear there. I also really like the alliteration and back into the rough, roaring, rapid, regurgitating seas. The fear part really comes through in there, and the idea of being thrown into those treacherous, toxic waters, almost like the toxic waters represent the idea of finding the idea of the fear of finding yourself once again in a toxic relationship. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
It's an interesting piece. It uses the phrase kind sir, which seems to me rather formal. But I'm taking it as almost as a mock formality, attempting a little levity, which I think this is a metaphorical piece, a fish in the ocean. If you catch me, I'm hooked. And I wasn't ready for that kind of metaphor. It took a minute for it to sink in terms of using it to describe a love that she's afraid she's going to lose. And, you know, if you ever had a relationship with someone who needs to be constantly, constantly reassured over and over and over again that, yes, we're all right, after a while, you can't create a division. So it's interesting that she used that tone. I think that's probably the reason for the kind sir swim back. She's not trying to push too hard. She's trying a little bit for that mock formality, levity to express her love and willingness to let the sea carry you back home to me tonight, to hold me in your arms, squeezing me nice and tight. Not trying to escape his grasp. Not flopping around. I'm there for you, quiet. Whispered to me that all between us will again be all right, passing love's biggest test, never giving up without a fight, in the same way that a fish can fight a line. Don't fight the love. Enjoyed it.
Nice. I like that thought, Ron. Thank you very much. And Jean, you got to read it, so how about you?
Yeah, you know, I have to kind of agree with Pam. I thought it was a sweet piece and a great take on the prompt. I thought it was very well penned, with nice rhythm and meter, a rhyme and meter, sorry. And I thought the emotions in it were nicely expressed. And Laurent, I think maybe she said kind sir, because the title of the song was Kind Woman. So it was kind of like a play on that, I think. I'm not sure, though. Don't get me wrong.
I missed that because I didn't really absorb it without the lyrics in front of me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not positive about that, but I think that's what it was.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. And Rex, that's it for me. Jenny, that was a great piece, and thanks for sharing. Really enjoyed it.
I'll walk the same way with you on the kind sir angle, Jean, but I didn't like what you had to say, Laurent. It fit quite a bit in this, especially that first stanza dropping in there. I know you got tired of me asking, baby, are we all right? I understand it's tasking, needing reinsurance fight after fight, night after night. I'm afraid one more disagreement and you'll take flight. There's a strong notion of what's behind the idea of going on to begin with, because she does finish on the back end, passing love's biggest test, never giving up without a fight. So the idea, hey, you know, all good relationships have their fights. The idea, you don't take it too far, or you don't let it sit and fester. But then again, if you don't fight for that that individual, then you end up on the back end losing out on something you thought you had, and you never get to see grow. Anyway, the alliteration was wonderful in this too. I like those lines, the rough, roaring, rapid, regurgitating scenes. That was a nice touch. And that second line in the second stanza also, She's reminded daily, in the sea for you, there are many fish, understanding, hey, pardon my, but you do have a lot of options. Me, I don't think I have a whole lot of options. So you might give me a little bit of leeway because you have all those options. And then that sort of, I understand if you ever need to release me back into the rough, roaring, rapid, negotiating seas. May the floating sunlight help you to once more reminisce until it's me, kind sir, that you will one day miss. A nice touching note right there. And it does walk nicely along with the country rock feel of the original song itself. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you. All right, coming back to you.
Yeah. The next song is Hung Upside Down. And here you go.
Look what's happening to me. I'm going blind. Please help. There I sat until three, getting further behind myself, by myself, and I'm hung upside down, and I'm hung upside down, oh, hung upside down.
Compliment that piece. But you gotta unmute yourself, Gene.
I'm like, good.
Well, Rex, like I said, the piece that goes with this is called Down on the Farm by Liquid Mind Forever. And whenever you're ready, Rex, that's exactly what I said.
All right.
Thank God.
Down on the Farm by Liquid Mind Forever. Steel tracks on my arms, ain't so funny this funny farm. Red alarm, running for harm, my good luck charm. Some funny farm, some money farm, no bail from jail hell. Rails off their pins, darkness that wins. Sins ain't funny, this funny farm. Say old MacDonald had a farm. Say old MacDonald had a farm, barn burning storm down on the farm. If at first you don't succeed, cut some more you'll bleed. Sniffing and snorting, guys and gals cavort, sniggling and wiggling a pig in the mud, a pig in a wig, a pig full of crud, rolling in mud. I hear the whistle blowing, it's coming around the bend. I ain't been straight since I don't know when. Darkness that wins, sins ain't funny, funny, funny farm. Red alarm, there ain't no bail from jail for those rails off their pins. Darkness that wins, and it ain't so funny down here. At the not so funny, funny farm. Upside down, out two sides is short, sniffing and snorting guys and their gals cavort, sniggling and wiggling, a pig in the mud, a slug, a jug, a pig in a wig, just rolling in mud. Steel tracks on my arms, ain't no funny farm, no funny farm. Red alarm, running for harm, my good luck charm. Some kind of funny, funny farm, some money, money farm. No bail from jail, these steel rails off their pins. Darkness that wins, sins ain't funny. Honey down here at the not-so-funny, funny farm. Steel tracks in my arms, a junkie's funny, funny farm. Rails off their pins, darkness that wins. Sins ain't so funny, honey. Down, upside down here at the not-so-funny, funny farm. And farm. And Laurent, why don't you kick us off, please?
Wow. I am not sure what to say about this. The message is pretty clear. Steel tracks in my arms ain't so funny, this funny farm. A theme that is repeated in almost each stanza running through to the end. Lines like upside down, inside out, two sizes too short, sniffing and snorting guys and the gals cavort, sniggling and wiggling, a pig in the mud, a slug, a jug, and a slug, a jug, a pig, and a wig just rolling in mud. You have to be careful how you read this. This would have been, to my mind, very enjoyable if set to music. Reading it as text in blocks, I'm not saying it's bad. It's a little bit difficult initially. There seems to be a little bit of the run-on, I've forgotten the term for it, stream of consciousness mixed with a deliberate structure. It's totally unlike anything I've heard her, I read that she's written. So I'm going to reserve my comments as I read it about some more times. I will leave my thoughts in sight.
Cool. Thank you, Laurent. Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I do have to admit I really like this poem, but when I read it earlier today, I was like, I really hope Gina signs this one to Rex. There we go. My dream came true. And but I liked this. I liked the inner and end rhyme, the way she goes about it deftly with the use of repetition and the play on words. I really like the sniggling and wiggling a pig in the mud, a pig in a wig, you know, and of course, which always makes me think of the story Animal Farm, the transformation of the pigs to becoming the humans that they once despised. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this and how it speaks to me on the idea of the insanity of addiction, but not just addiction, but also corruption of the human spirit. You know, I just think it's a wonderfully almost twisted version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And I really like Steel Tracks on My Arms, Ain't No Funny Farm, No Funny Farm. And, of course, the steel tracks on the arm make me think of the whole idea almost of either, like, perhaps actually something physically steel, like a brace, or maybe the marks caused by putting a needle in the arm over and over again. But it's definitely an absolute fascinating write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dean, how about you?
Well, I have written a comment, but I want to tell you that Dexter has joined us. Hello, Dex.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you happen to hear that piece by Deborah? Liquid Mind Forever?
I did. I thought that this was a fantastic write by Liquid Mind. And, what I really like is the courage to write these rights, because, you know, I always think that, you know, initially you want to pin this such a deep right as a personal right, but I don't want to pin this one as potentially her. Some people have the gift to write as other people, but this seems almost as if the heroin addict, and when the darkness wins and the mud, I know that things have been called that because I think it boils to black or something along those lines. And so this really has the scent of an addiction, right? And but I think that it's a fantastic right, and I don't want to pin it on somebody personally. So very well done.
Amen.
Thank you, Dex, like you said. Or Jean.
Okay, what I had to say is, you know, I thought it was well penned by Deborah. You know, this is a strong piece that she had penned, powerful, you know, about mental illness and addiction. And, between the Funny Farm reference and the tracks on the arm, you know, all those things, I mean, it was well worded. It really packed quite a punch. It really did. And I think this is where the name Liquid Mind Forever just kind of comes into play. It just flowed so nicely out of her pen. So great job, Deb, and thank you very much for sharing with us.
Absolutely. I like the curveball I got in that third stanza. I hear the whistle blowing. It's coming around the bend. I ain't been straight since I don't know when. And then darkness, that wind sins. Ain't funny farm. Red alarm, there ain't no bail from jail for those rails off their pins. Darkness that wins, and it ain't so funny. Times here, they're not so funny. Funny farm. I enjoyed that stamp. It kind of threw me for a curveball right there. I looked at, oh, okay. It adds a little bit of tonic to the juice, so to speak, especially when you hit that, I ain't been straight since I don't know when, because it adds a lot more depth and meaning to it. Everything else she's got in here, as well as the rail track arms and the junkie's funny farm and the pigs at the pig and the wig angle, the rolling in the mud angle, that hit on that idea of hey, there's a whole lot of stuff you end up getting into when you nod off into that void, and most of it's not very nice. So Kleenex always a miss.
Yep. I really like the way everything kind of goes from one thing into the next thing, and it really did. It was pretty neat the way that she wrote that. I thought it was neatly expressed, very much so. Anyway, you didn't need to hear a second comment from me. the next song I'm going to put up. Wait, let me make sure I didn't miss. I did miss something. Pam, I have this one for you. And this is Strung to the Cart by Blue Right 76. And this, too, went with that song, Hung Upside Down. So, whenever you are ready.
All right. See what becomes of me. I am going silent. Please help. Where I walked until dusk, leaving the young queen behind. and I'm strung to the cart, and I'm strung to the cart, and I'm strung to the cart. Dream on, strung to the cart. Never want to be free. Where is the day that I climb on for me to come home? What I bring home when I touch her? Oh, it's never late. Queens on the cart, queens on the cart, queens on the cart. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I mean, I don't know, unless I'm really missing something on these rights or unless I'm really looking at these from away. Strung on the cart has me feeling as if this is a substance poem as well. Dream on, strung on the cart, never want to be free. That feeling that you can't envision it any other way other than when you're, you know, going through these phases of being strung out and being high. This is a very intriguing brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Dave. Jean, how about you?
Well, Lex, I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe I should have had you sing this one. I'm not sure if it lines up, but it does say that it's a parody of the song Hung Upside Down. And it looks like maybe the syllables are right, but I don't know for sure. It just makes me wonder if I should have asked you. I thought it was a well-done piece in the fact it was a parody. And I'm not sure what exactly, leaving young queen behind. I'm strung on the cart, strung to the cart. Sounds like someone was tied to the cart. But then it says, dream on, strung to the cart. Never want to be free. Where's the day that I climb on for me to come home? What I bring home when I touch her, oh, it's never late. Queens on the cart. I don't know. I'm not sure where this is going. But definitely was interesting. And from what I could see, the syllables line up. So nice job, Blue Wright. And thanks for sharing with us. Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
I think if he's strung to the cart in the same way that an extra donkey or a horse might be tied to a cart that's being pulled by another horse, and there's somebody sitting in the cart. Well, in this case, queen's on the cart, queen's on the cart, queen's on the cart, and he's tied to her by his love for her, and he's following along, strung to the cart, strung to the cart, strung to the cart. He never wants to be free, but she hasn't accepted him completely. So he says, where's the day that I climb on for me to come home, what I bring home when I touch her? Someday, oh, it's never too late. At least that's what I'm saying, and that's very clever.
Right.
I like
very,
that.
Very
nice catch.
Laurent.
Mm-hmm. And, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, it was a nice poem to read. I would have loved to hear you sing it, but it was the use of repetition, because it was a parody, worked really well. I had similar thoughts to Laurent, although I was actually picturing, you know, how in some countries they have those things where the people, like, hold the handlebars or whatever they're called, and they, like, you know,
rickshaw.
Run with Rick. Yes, that's it. I had pictured, like, the rickshaw type thing. And somebody pulling one of those, same idea that Laurent had is, but that this is somebody who, whether it's one individual person or all different kinds of people, is always putting others before themselves. They're always carrying other people's burdens. And that's why it gets to the part where it says, where is the day that I climb on for me to come home? When becomes the point that I stop carrying other people's burdens and start carrying my own and worrying about my own and taking care of myself? But unfortunately, that can't happen, because as long as the queen sits on the cart, he feels this obligation to not let go. And so I just think it's an absolutely fascinating write, beautifully written, and very well done.
Great comments, you guys. I like that. Let's see. I'm going to go a tad differently. the idea up front, see what became of me. I am going silent. Please help. Where I walked until dusk, leaving the young queen behind. So he strung to the cart at that point. The idea of a job, maybe a lowly job, and it would be that sort of being the last one in a long line attached to the cart because you don't want to get sidetracked, so to speak. And then he thought, dream on, dream on, strung to the cart, never want to be free because she's left it behind, yet he still has hope. Where's the day that I climb on for me to come home? That's the hope. What I bring home when I touch her, oh, it's never late. Now she's on the cart. So the reality has been born to itself. It's come full circle. So nicely said there, Blue, right? Thank you very much. All right, Jane.
Okie dokie. The next song I'm going to play is called Bluebird. So, let's hit the button.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you why. Deep within her heart, you see. She knows all I cry. Birds, strangest color blue, flying in forgotten now, thinks only of you, just you. Oh, so get all those blues, must be a thousand years, and each is differently used, you just know.
I think you're safe, Rex.
Yeah, back in the day, Stills was playing a Gretsch guitar, and he used to take the unscrew the pick guard on the guitar because Stills was known for his finger picking while he played.
Yeah, that was a nice one. It startled me too. So I'm just gonna say the piece I'm gonna put up. I think there's two. The one piece I'm going to put up first is by Betty Page, and I'm going to go ahead and give that a read. Milan, Dex, I know you're there. It's nothing. You'll understand. this is called "Sweet Hummingbird" by Betty Page. Floating high, she sings and cries, humming songs of yesterday. All her sorrows are lullabies. Tries dancing her blues away. Always moving, never rest, swirling and twirling around. Ripped her heart right out of her chest, never again to be found. Her eyes are a hollow black, her fate's quiet, dark, pure darkness. Too numb to feel each push and smack. She doesn't care who's heartless. She floats as a ghost, haunting, walks lifeless down these corridors. Thunder rolls fast as lightning. Striking her, bleeds out, she pours. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
That was a nice read, Gene. I like this from Betty. This is not like a lot of the stuff she does. Her eyes are hollow black. Her fate's quiet through darkness. Too numb to feel each push, smack. She doesn't care. She's heartless. I like the image of floating. As a ghost, haunting, walks lifeless down these corridors, almost as if she doesn't exist anymore, or won't. Striking her, bleeds out, she pours. Wow, just a loss of herself, bleeding out emotionally. It's a powerful piece. I'm reading in the domestic violence. It's difficult stuff to talk about because it's love exists in domestic violence. Dependency exists in the domestic violence. And if you didn't love them, you wouldn't stick around. As long as people do who are victims of it, always thinking, well, she'll change, or I'll change, or I'll change, or it'll stop, or not knowing where else to go, what else to do. Done very neatly and nicely in this. And there's a sweetness to the sadness in this. I like it.
I like that. Thank you, Laurent. Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful and emotive write with a strong imagery and metaphors. That speaks on a woman who has lost, and the main message I get from it is a woman who's lost faith and love and life because of abuse endured. And a couple of the things that really stood out to me was, first of all, the title, which of course is, you know, a play on the fact that it was written to the song The Bluebird, but the hummingbird. What I think about when she went with the hummingbird, I think about the fact that the hummingbird is actually the bird that fights more than any other bird. And the reason for that is because of their need for a high calorie intake. They are constantly fighting for food. So basically, hummingbirds are always in survival mode. And people who have been through abusive relationships or been abused in their life are always in survival mode. Now, whether or not Betty meant it like that, I don't know, but that's what it made me think of. I also like the nod to the song The Thunder Rolls by Garth Brooks. I thought that was really cool because that was another song, that powerful song that spoke on the issue of abuse and relationships, which were a relationship that was violent. So just an amazing and thoughtful write and very well done.
Thank you, Dan. It does walk that way with hummingbirds. The the bigger ones always get the first eats at the hummingbird feeder, while the others line up in formation to await their turn. So they do fight on that note, because the bigger ones are always first to the trough, and everyone else has to wait their turn. Dex, how about you?
Laurent, did you have a quick response on it? I thought I almost heard you wanted to jump in, if you wanted to take.
When Pam was talking.
Yeah, I already made my comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you went in and just wanted to respond to Pam. No, I thought that this was a fantastic piece, you know, and really a haunting piece. The thunder roll, the floating heights, he sings and cries, hummings of yesterday. It's just, you know, the fake pure heartness. You know what? It reminds me of shooting birds when I was a kid, when I used to shoot them with a BB gun and just feel, and all of a sudden looking back at it, you feel like shit. You're just being a boy. And then all of a sudden you see that bird that's kind of dead and it's got those black eyes and you feel so sorry for it. I feel like that's where it almost struck me with this right. It's like you did something so bad, you just felt so bad for it. And I thought this was a fantastic piece.
Thank you, Dex. Nice. And Gene, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I have to agree with a lot of what Pam said. I felt that this piece was about someone who's pretty much kind of given up hope for relationships, as Pam had said. There's a lot of abuse here. You know, almost moving, always moving, never rest, swirling and swirling around, ripped her heart right out of her chest, never again to be found. Her eyes are hollow black. Someone who's just going through the motions. I guess that's really what I want to say there. But I thought Betty did a wonderful job penning it. It was my take on the prompt. And it was a pain-filled piece for sure, all the way around. I grabbed up those two stanzas that I started to read. Well, floating high, she sings and cries, humming songs of yesterday. All her stars are lullabies, tries dancing her blues away. Always moving, never rest, swirling and twirling around. Then it goes on about the chest, her heart being ripped from her chest. Never again found. Very sad piece. There's just pain filled. So, Betty, I think you did a wonderful job with it. And thank you so much for sharing with us all. Excellent job.
It is a sad piece, but that back end, her eyes are a hollow black. Her face quiet, pure dark. There's too numb to feel each push smack. She doesn't care who's heartless. It kind of hits on that idea of walking into one bad relationship after another. And that last one, because of the last two lines, she floats the ghost haunting, walks lifeless down these corridors. Thunder rolls, fast as lightning, striking her, leads out, she pours. The idea of the finality and death on that last note. Thank you, Betty. All right, Jean.
Yes.
Where back to you.
Okay. Well, Laurent, I have one for you to read, and this is by Sarah Walters, and it's called Bluebird Slum Men. So, whenever you are ready.
Bluebird's Lament. Listen to my bluebird laugh. Her heart aches. You can't tell why. Her tears fall like morning dew. As she sits there, perched up high, her wings spread wide, a shade of blue, a color that's hard to define. Her gaze is deep, mesmerizes, a soulful beauty, so divine. She sings a song of love and pain for you and only you to hear. Her heart's aching, she's flying away, finds solace to shed her tears. Oh, how she loves you, can't you see? Her soulful eyes, they tell it all. But soon she'll be gone, a memory, leaving you to ponder and fall. In sadness, she finds her own way. Her tears are bath to wash the pain. He'll fly back home, but her heart will stay with you forever in the rain. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Dean, we're going to come to you first. Yes, you.
Oh, I'm not ready.
You.
Darn it. Wow. It was a great piece, okay? And I'm trying to, like, listen to my bluebird laugh. Heart aches, can't tell why. Her tears fall like morning dew as she sits there, perched up high. Her wings spread wide, a shade of blue, a color that's hard to define. Her gaze is it mesmerizes, a soulful beauty, so divine. Beautifully written, I love the rhyme and meter of this. And it's lovely imagery all the way through. It just, you know, again, it has a sad note at the very end, and it you know, makes me pout a little bit. But it was beautiful and very well done, and a nice take on the prompt. So I have to say, Sarah Walters, I have not seen much of your work, if any, before, and I hope to see more of it after reading this. Nicely done.
Thank you, Jean. And Dex, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
I got to say that my, you know, my initial thought is almost as far as a water sign, you know, almost a zodiac, the way she talks about her gaze is deep in her soul, and it's so divine. It almost feels as if, you know, certain pieces that feel like almost as somebody that holds that zodiac sign, they're, it's a deep soul, and it just seems like a right from that area. I'm a fire sign, so I'm the opposite, but it just seems like from what I've written, it seems like somebody that's deep, detached, mysterious, and they're beautiful in that own right. So very well done.
Thank you, Dan. Pam, how about you? Okay. Laurent, you got to read it. How about you?
Am I the substitute for Pam? Is that it? All right.
You're next up to me.
No, I know. I'm just joshing you. The lament of a bluebird who is in love is obviously a metaphor for an individual who is in love and is perhaps not recognized. How she loves you. Can't you see? Her soulful eyes, they tell it all, but soon she'll be gone, a memory, leaving you to ponder and fall. She's filled with sadness. She's going to go home, but her heart's always going to stay with you. The image of that bird perched up high, wings spread, that shade of blue, a color that's hard to define, and she's singing a song of love and pain. And at that point, that imagery gets very poignant. As you can see, the bird, the metaphor for a woman in love, and she's ignored, perhaps, and she's aching. Heart is aching. And so because she's unrecognized, she flies away to find solace to shed her tears. I thought it was a beautiful little piece.
Nice. I like that. I think it works on two levels. She's taken that thought of love that gets kind of tossed away, so to speak, with this. But, you know, bluebirds, the males will find a spot in a tree, and they'll call out and sing for prospective females to come by. And when one comes along that desires to stay, she is then left alone to build a nest and incubate the eggs. And so she hits on that thought, perched up high, wings spread wide, shade of blue. Her gaze is deep and mesmerized, a soulful beauty so divine. Bluebirds are beautiful. Then the thought of her heart's aching. She's flying away to find some. Well, it's find some. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. But soon she'll be gone in memory, leaving you to ponder and fall. the note of the when the young find their way and make it into the world on their own behest at that point. So it walks both angles, and she's woven it together in such a way that it does bite her at the angle of a woman who's been done the same way. She's made the nest, made the home, got the children, raising them, yet the other half of that union is no longer there. So there's a sadness in that note that they're singing. So I like it, Sarah. Thank you. Pam, you back yet? I guess not. Well, that's okay. She's beating off the bears in the Wisconsin woods.
I'm sorry, Rex. I did not hear you.
I said she's beating off the bears in the Wisconsin woods.
Yeah, that's it. I see that wandering around. God help the bear, that's all I can say. Okay. I'll tell you what, it's a little after 11, but I'm going to play this this one song, and then we're going to move back into the poetry. So,
okay.
It's called Expecting to Fly.
I'm hearing anything on this end.
Thank you.
little light there. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Where do you want to take it?
I don't know now. I'm making sure everybody's awake. Lon, let's do a roll call. Finch?
I'm here.
Dex, you here? Make sure nobody fell asleep on me.
Where do we want to take it is right. That was a good comment. Where do we want to take it? Pinch. Good job.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow.
Pinch me once. Pinch me twice. Pinch me three times. It's very nice.
Oh. Now you're getting spicy.
Yeah. See how it goes around here? I'll tell you. Okay. Next song I'm going to put up is For What It's Worth. And let me find the button. There we go. Oh, well, I hit the button. Maybe I have to hit it two or three times. There we go.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Seems wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying sign. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What sparked that was that that riot in November of '66 between the kids and the cops down at Pandora's box in on the strip, and he recorded that later in December of '66, and they immediately put it out as a single, and it went to number 7 on the charts. So it actually did very well, and it was one of those long-lasting protest songs from the 60s that everyone still remembers. All right, Jane. On to you. Are
that
you there?
One. That's the way I'm supposed to do it. Exactly. Exactly. Sam, I'm going to ask you to read this next one by Julie Buck.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Okie.
All right. Keeping It Alive by Julie Buck. What's happening here is just another American rebellion. No one cares. Some watch, some join in, some close their curtains, minds, and televisions. Rock and roll is loud, its energy finding and losing yourself all at the same time. It's a surrender, a force, fierce, powerful, truth, anger, pain, sweaty, apathetic, dirty, raw, spiritual, elation, scary, hungry, weak, and strong, and they're never wrong. Neither are the governmental warmongers. They simply deal with not which country has most children asking why are they on the run, or which country has the biggest emotions, but who has the biggest guns. The stronger is the right one. Bummer. And that's exactly why rock and roll will never die. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
Well, this is a very strong kind of emotive, right, powerful as far as a protest, right? You know, it's a surrender of force. This actually is, sorry, that's where I was going with it. This is a poem written about the divided America that we all live in. Rock and roll's loud, finding the energy and losing it, the fierce, powerful, and then the apathetic, the spiritual, the scary, hungry, weak, strong. This is the divided country that we all live in. And within this divided country, we're very weak. And we think, you know, and the reality is with this population, if we just started deciding to agree on some things, we would become very strong. But this is a writing to the state of it now. So well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this is a great piece by Julie. I think she really she hit all the right notes in this, and a great take on that chosen prompt. She had lots to say, and I think she said it well. Absolutely. So thank you so much, Julie, for sharing with us. I really enjoyed the piece, and I think that it this was just well put together. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jean. Laurent, how about you?
Well, Julie recognizes that in many ways, rock and roll was a vehicle for carrying the protests that she did, that she talks about, or that she refers to in the past. And not just rock and roll, but folk music, protest songs. I mean, it was something in the air in those days, and Buffalo Springfield captured it with their song. And this does the same thing. It captures the spirit that is in the air, the surrender of the force, fierce, powerful, truth, anger, what has been quoted by Dex earlier. They simply deal with not which country has most children asking why are they in the run, or which country has the biggest emotions, but who has the biggest gun. Yeah, it's the same gun that kills those kids, the schools. And that's exactly why rock and roll will never die. Rock and roll will always hold a place in my heart. And I'm saying rock and roll to cover a broad genre of protest music that occurred back in the 60s. I'm not sure I would call Buffalo Springfield's music strictly rock and roll, but it falls under that umbrella. Nicely done.
Thank you, Lamont. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked that end line and how it did speak on the idea that music and rock and roll can be used to speak for the people and for the issues of the time, no matter what the time is. And, you know, just brilliant imagery and metaphors. It was, as always, hard-hitting and gritty, as her lines often are. And I like how it speaks on the idea that, unfortunately, the big bucks and the big guns oftentimes get to write the rules to fit their needs. So wonderful write and very well done.
Well said, everybody. Thank you very much. kind of funny how this came at a moment in 66, but there is another one that rings on the same tones that came out a couple of years later and done by the very same people here, but under the auspices of another name. Neil Young wrote that song after the Kent State shootings, Ohio, which was done by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young back in 1970 or 71. So it rings on the same tone from this song right up through that one, which was also another one of those great protest songs from that era. So great thought there, Julian. Thank you very much.
Okay, and then the next piece I have to put up is Ponder on the 4th of July by Laurent. So, Laurent, whenever you are ready.
All right. Give me just one brief second here. All right. Ponder on this 4th of July. Unfortunate days wear the absurdest clothes, disquieting dorms dressed in potluck fabric, a patch on every opinion formed in the comfort of an uninformed ignorance. This was told, foretold, myth and legend, history's facts now retold to suit the uninformed flow. Unimpeded, it circulates smoothly and quietly at first, then leaps up abruptly to spray you full face, swamp water with a bitter taste of its steam. There's something evil happening here, and what it is ain't at all unclear. There are bigots promoting their hate, telling me whose skin I should fear. I think it's time we act, listen closely, that sound. Sound of freedom going down. Live like them, look like them, think like them, pray like them. All in the name of making us great again. Friends, dark deeds exist in our past. Affirmative action was born to regress. Now stripped away as unconstitutional. A decision designed not to help, but repress. Overturning Roe v. Wade, rationale is patently absurd, a big step backwards in time. Settled off a shattered cascade, politics and religion a blurred, one of many repeals to be made. So ponder on this 4th of July, what you believe in and why. Stand up and refute all the lies. Honor the patriots who died for our independence and freedom, now ebbing away on a fascist-led time. End point.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't we start with you, please?
A great read there, Laurent. I thought this was a strong-voiced write, great imagery, metaphors, very thought-provoking, as it takes a look at the holiday of the 4th of July and the darkness that lurks behind it. Throughout history, and the idea of celebrating freedoms and celebrating our country's birth, but with not being necessarily fully aware of everything that is behind that. And I really like this was told, foretold, myth and legend, history's facts now retold to suit the uninformed flow. Yeah, you do often find history being adjusted to suit people's needs, unfortunately. I also like the bite and live like them, look like them, think like them, pray like them, all in the name of making us great again. Great biting lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is a great write, Laurent, about called white guilt falling upon all of us. Do we celebrate the 4th of July? How can we honestly look at this holiday or look at any celebration of our country with any type of pride or dignity and not feel obligated to maybe not celebrate it. And I'm not saying making the stance that we should or we shouldn't, but this is a thought that crosses our mind. And it's because of how bigoted our past is. And I just honestly felt the back and forth of this right in touching on that subject, and I thought it was a great right.
Thank you, Dex. Gene, how about you?
Well, where do I begin? It's an awesome piece, Laurent. Really, very well expressed. The honesty of it is, like, you know, really something else. And, you know, you put it out there for everyone to read. It's easy. You know, it's honest. And that in itself is really amazing. But I found something intriguing, and I don't know if you did it on purpose. The one stanza, just the one that I caught in my mind. There's something evil happening here, and what it is ain't all that at all unclear. There are bigots promoting their hate. You know, this actually, when I was reading it, it was going with the music in my head, and I don't know if that was the intent. But can you see it, Rex? How it?
Yes, it comes out of the song itself.
Yeah, that's part of the parody of the song.
I was gonna say, damn, man. But I read that whole thing all the way down to the sound of freedom going down. Live like them, look like them, think like them, pray like them. All in the name of making us great again. I mean, and how pathetic is that, really? You know, we had hope not being so great. I wonder where that came from. But anyway, I think that this was just a well-written piece and really strong, you know. And I think that kind of hit all the right notes. And I'm with you, Dex. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
You got that right. Down to that last bit too, because the song goes, "Hey there, what's that sound? Everybody, look what's going round." So you fit that in on this play. Freedom going down was a nice touch, yes. But I do like the opening on right up front. Unfortunate days wear the absurdest clothes. Disquieting dawns dressed in potluck fabric. A patch on every opinion formed in the comfort of an uninformed ignorance. Now, all that hits on the idea of that rolls right back to the 60s, the clothing. There were patches. There were notes to who and what you were. The peace sign was evident everywhere. The tie-dye shirts and everything. That brings back that note of polarized vision from back then, brings it forward. I like that. And the myth and legend, history's facts, now results to the uninformed flow. Again, yes. And I did like that opening. Gene took it, but you know what? It was a great opening for the second act on this piece. And I did like using the song itself to express that notation, the sound of freedom going down. It really hit home with that and the thought of live like them, look like them, think like them, pray like them. All in the name of making us great again. A nice touch there. And then the third one, dark deeds exist in our past. Affirmative action was born to address. Now stripped away an unconscionable decision, not designed not to help but repress. That remains to be seen. It is what it is. Overall, it brings the song about that those days in 66. It brings it forward. So I like it. Nicely done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Gene, I guess we're coming to you again.
Okay. The next song we're going to play is called Mr. Soul.
Of my face would be so pleasing. I'll pop up with a change, but a stranger was down on the ground when the messenger brought me a letter. I was raised by the praise of a fan who said I upset her. Any girl in the world could have easily known me better. She said, "You're strange, but don't change," and I let her.
Neil Young, in the early days, one of those that, songs he wrote early, and he wanted to sing when he started flexing his muscles. It is one of those distinctive voices that sticks with you. There's nothing else quite like it.
Okay. Well, the next poem I have to put up that went with that song is called Perfectly Strange by Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey. Okay, Dexter, you're up, man.
All right. Okay, Perfectly Strange. Perfectly strange, precisely deranged. Off the wall, out of control, my soul won't be contained. A puzzle of mystery, a game of enchantment. My reason's pure, deep depths. Swim to me so I can watch you drown. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. Pam, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. Great read there, Dexter. And by the way, Dexter, I meant that the fire and the cat sounded nice. Although I will admit, rough and wet isn't a bad idea either. Just saying.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, this is an excellent brevity. And it always amazes me how you can put so much into, you know, such a short poem without a lot of words. And, of course, you know, the first part of my comment, I had to quote, "People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone."
No,
I wasn't going to pass
Thank
that
you.
Up. But I'm pretty much just going to read my written comment, which was brilliant flow of imagery and metaphors, an excellent write on being a unique and free-spirited person, which is actually the part I really felt like represented you. I mean, I know this whole poem represented you, but I felt like it spoke on your unique and free spirit. And then I said, you know, that end line made me think about the idea that unfortunately not everyone wants to or can swim in the deep end of the soul. A lot of people just want to have that shallow conversation and never really truly get to deeply know each other. So excellent write and very well done.
Quit talking about it.
Thank you. Very much, Pam. Awesome.
Thank you, Pam. Laurent, how about you?
I like what Pam had to say. It was right on. I like the bravado with a smile, of course, the bravado of this individual who considers himself so deep that any soul, in this case, I presume a young woman, would drown in you. You have depths that are unknowable. Everyone gets subsumed within you. And I like that a great deal. Nicely
written. Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
Yeah, so this is a great brevity, that's fine. You know, you did say a lot with few words, and I like that. You know, Pam and Laurent really, you know, pretty much said it all. You know, I listened. A puzzle of mystery, a game of enchantment. My reason is pure. Depths deep. Swim to me so I can watch you drown. You know, drowning who I am, drowning what I have to offer. I mean, you know, it's an intriguing statement at the end. And I think that you did a great job with this and a neat take on the prompt. You know, nice work.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. That, you know, the funny thing is, I actually heard this in Neil Young's voice, and it fits the motif, so to speak. Perfectly strange, precisely deranged, off the wall, out of control. My soul won't be contained. This is kind of a spiritual note right there. The fact of finding something deep within, which now speaks on a level that you understand, and it's grown a bit to the point where you're allowing its expansion. And that the back end of it, so I can watch you drown, is kind of a note to come. I can help and offer you, but hey, if you're not willing to swim, you'll actually drown. So the idea is to push someone or into that note of actually making the effort to stand within that that expansion themselves. I must have hit the wrong note.
Well, the frog definitely liked your comment, Rex. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Let me see. Well, Bex is still here. He's pondering. That must be what he's doing. Yes, yes, yes. Bex, say something. Speak to us, man. Speak to us.
Dex, did you say it? I thought those were great comments. Thank you all.
We thought we lost you, Dex. Nothing.
No, hell no. I was. I thought you guys nailed that thing.
You were just thinking, that's all. I get it. Okay, the next one I'm going to put up, next song I'm going to put up is called Broken Arrow, followed up by the poem By the Broken Arrow. There she goes.
They were there to wave to you.
That's what you call an eclectic song played out in four-part funk.
Awesome choice, Rick.
Oh, my God.
That was honestly amazing.
everything that was introduced into that piece, from the ending with the clarinets and all, and then the jukey sound of something from the 1800s, all the way through it, each little tidbit offering a bit more rolling through. So it was a fun piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was epic. I loved it, honestly.
Absolutely. Okay, well, the piece I have for that went with that song is called The Lunacy in the Hallway by Pam Rice. So here we go. Whenever you're ready, Pam.
Okey-dokey. All right. Madness foamed the king's mouth while the soldier did ride an iron lung, and the tide of farmers' protesting hath left the city high in dung. Dram boys are playing with swords of wooden sticks, while Mumsy is pretending yon father's not a prick. The hallway has been did empty, and the river still flows on, carrying all the upheaval of the pieces cometh and gone. Scribes and scepters, prostitutes and crones, are all weeping in the meadows for the porridge left high lone. The queen's maid is picking shards of a wine glass dripping red, and the queen can only stutter, the ladies already hath lost her head. Lunacy and Loveth hath met in the queer house mirrors, and both of those folks did declare their feelings for each other. Those lemon did marry and hast the son whom fate named Jolly Ted, and before that knave learned to hold a thick night bodkin, he'd oft would wet the bed. Anon, where is leaf sweet Teddy, was such a fine young man. Some sayeth that gent's roaming Edinburgh with Prince Albert in a can. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get first licks. But you gotta actually come off the muto.
Oh, God. You know. I don't know how many times. Oh, God. The Lunacy in the Hallway. Okay, Pam. Clever title. Madness foamed the king's mouth. Hang on. Madness foamed the king's mouth while the soldier did ride in iron lung. And the tide of farms protesting hath left the city high and dumb. Gramboys art playing in swords of wooden sticks, while Mumsy is pretending yon father's not a prick. Oh, my God. It's very well done. Very entertaining. I love the I'm not sure how to express it. The, I want to say play on words, but that's not what it is. I liked all the different, and how you put them in different dialects. I don't know if that's really the word either. But I think it was really really well done. And I loved your ending in that. Some say that gent's roaming Edinburgh with Prince Albert. And I can't. I got to pick that up. I just think it was really, really well penned. And clever as always from you. You know, you always come in from a different space. And I always tell you that. I always do. I think it's just an excellent job. So thank you very much.
I cry. I try, but you know what? It's funny. It's funny, Jean, because I actually thought, I started thinking yesterday about what song I was going to write to, and I thought I was going to write to one of the ones that was more of a love song, and I was like, you know what? I should totally throw Jean and Rex off and write this really romantic love poem. But then I came to this song, and I was like, you know what? Screw the love poem. That can wait for another rhythm and rhyme show.
Oh, my God. Oh, it just, yeah, it was really good. And it really, it's so different. And it's so, but it works. It all works together. And, you know, can't take that away from you, girl. Great job. Great job.
Oh. Nice, Jean. Hello, how about you?
Well, the lunacy in the hallway ends up being inspired lunacy. I love the English vernacular. It's so well represented. I mean, we're talking, what, the 1500s, 1600s in there? you went back two centuries, which yep. helps so much. Well, I mean, it allows you to stay so much. And the tide of farmers protesting has left the city high and dunked. You can't say that today. It's still, that is still good. The Dram Boys are playing the swords of wooden sticks while Mumsy is pretending young father's not a prick. it just rolls off the tongue. It's so nicely done. This is inspired lunacy. I would love to know what made you decide to write it just like this. Is it the fact that if you want to be humorous, dropping into this kind of vernacular almost makes it easier than in modern English?
Well, you know, a funny thing is I actually originally wrote it in modern English, and there was something about the tone of the write, and you brought that up, is the humor. There was a kind of a biting, sardonic humor that made me think of Shakespeare, which is why I turned mm-hmm. to the more Shakespearean English
yeah.
mm-hmm. to rewrite it, because I just felt like there was this kind of this odd Shakespeare-type humor that you would find in some of his more racy, humorous plays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his insults, if you want to call them that, or his descriptions were very, very subtle and nuanced, while still hitting a hammer hard. He was a wonderful writer.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Lenore. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, Ed Erdon is doing a Jim Morrison, There's a Killer on the Road. Kind of almost, I felt like that was almost a parody, but doing it almost in the Shakespeare tone just to get extra emphasis. But, I felt that this was Jim Morrison mixed with Shakespeare and ultimately 100% Pam. So, well done.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Well, I got to say, the title, you start with Pink Floyd, a little, The Lunatic is in the Grass. So why isn't he in the hallway? He always is. And I did recognize the language. I didn't think anybody else was going to roll down this way, but it's nice to see someone else dipping into it and playing with it, because it is fun. And it does offer up a lot on the back end of things. And nobody has said Bodkins anymore. Oh, it's Bodkins. So I like that too.
I like that word too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, and then there's that note to Bart Simpson on the end when he calls the smoke shop. You got Prince Albert in a can. Yes, we do. Well, let him out.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, too funny. But thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
A great show tonight, Dean. This was a lot of fun, with a lot of dipping into a world of just about everything with that last one. But yeah, this was a great show. I had a lot of fun. Thank you, everyone, who penned for the show itself. Laurent, Pam, and Dex, thank you for joining us to comment. And Silent, Frank, Jenny, and Simon for the boards. We very much appreciate you holding us down. Thank you very much. Oh, and Sidewinder, too. Thank you.
Excellent show, Rex. Great prompts, and I'm looking forward to next week. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Next week, there'll be a howl.
There you go. Looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody who called in. Thank you, Dex. Thanks, Laurent. Thank you, Pam. Thanks for hanging out with us. It was fun. Lots of fun. And hope to do it again. Hey, everybody join us tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, for Lou You Wild Dove and the Garden of Enlightenment. And, that's about that. Not much else. Hi. Good night, guys.
Good night, all.